640 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The words of Jesus. Love one another as I love you. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for the most listened to show on WGBB.
Does that mean I have to love you?
Well, you could if you want to. But give us the name of the show.
Oh, Father, what's this? Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Yeah. We've heard that show
and
before.
And that's Dr.
Christmas, which is Christmas is the incarnation. So what you want to see is that in Christmas, what is your Father doing? He's sending you his heart. See, he's sending you a new heart. He said, I will put a new heart in you. And so you're having a total renovation of humanity.
Wow.
Is taking place at Christmas. And so first you want to understand that that's what's going to happen. Your Father's going to put a new heart in you. And what is that new heart? That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to realize that that's what your Father is doing. So how do you prepare for that? Well, look at how your Father sent you this new heart. How did Jesus come to us? He came to us poor. He came to us little. And so that's how you go back to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you prepare for his coming in Advent. You want to look at yourself and ask yourself, how little am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have I... am I a very big and important person? Am I very proud? Am I inflated with the vanity of the world? Or am I little and humble as Jesus was little and humble? Because that's how he came. That's how you're going to receive him. You have to become like him. See, you could almost say the like attracts the like. And then Jesus was poor. What does it mean to be poor? Well, to us, it means really to look at your heart. Where is your heart out? What is it attached to? See, is it attached to the world? Is it attached to all the various things of the world, the pride of the world, the vanity of the world, the fame of the world, the power of the world? If you find that you're attached to all of these things, well, then you're not poor. So you're not poor as Jesus is poor. And so then you're not really prepared.
Mm-hmm.
To receive the gift of Jesus at Christmas. You're not prepared to receive a new heart.
By the time I finish Christmas shopping, I'm very poor. But I don't think that's exactly the way you mean it.
No, I don't think so either. But,
yeah.
But the whole idea of Advent is to prepare
for
the coming of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Is that...
Yes, that's it, and it's a reflection. You have to go into your heart and examine your heart to see, where is your heart? You know, because where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your treasure is going to be Jesus, the gift of Jesus, who will be a new heart, you have to know the old heart in order to get it out of the way, to move it out of the way, to sacrifice it. So that you can receive the gift of Jesus, a new life, a new way of being. And what a beautiful gift it is, and what a worthy gift it is to make the preparation necessary.
And you have to encounter him to begin to have your heart beat for him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that part of what you teach in your book?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you have to spend time... in his presence so that he can do this heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
In that quiet presence with Jesus, he will begin the process of removing the old heart and replacing it with the new heart that can express compassion, that can empathize, that can love, that can serve without counting the cost.
Mm-hmm.
See, these are all qualities and gifts that are so, so needed.
You know what I find, Father? My mind gets in your way, so I really look on Christmas as a time to have a mind bypass surgery. So God can go right past my mind and start coming to my heart. And I have to learn to shut up and listen.
Yes,
there's wisdom in those words that you just said, somehow or other.
There really is.
Me? In my words?
Yeah, your words?
Believe it or not.
Wisdom, believe it or not.
Ripley strikes
again. There's wisdom in those words.
But you know, it is true, though. Our minds are our worst enemies, isn't it?
Yes.
I bet every listener wakes up in the morning thinking negatively and has to work out of that and go to their heart and let Jesus in their heart. That's what you're talking about. That's why I love your book, Father. I love that.
Yes.
Because you're telling people to go to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And allow Jesus to go into your heart.
Well, people think that prayer is about what's going on in their mind.
Yeah.
And it really isn't. Jesus isn't really concerned about that. He kind of knows that. What he wants to see is a transformation and opening of your heart.
Yeah.
That's where it all happens.
Yeah.
That's where the relationship with Jesus takes place, is in the heart.
I was watching a video of John Michael Talbert, where he gives a mission. And he was saying something to the effect, now I got to get it right because it's going to slide out of my mind. God is the Word, yes. But if it stopped at the Word, then all we would be philosophers and theologians.
Mm.
You have to go further.
Mm.
And you have to encounter His words in your heart.
Mm.
I love that because it really gives our listeners something to shoot for.
It really does. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And isn't the hymn for Advent, O come, O Manuel, O come, Emmanuel?
Yes.
And just asking and crying out, waiting in anticipation for Jesus to come.
Absolutely. Well, see, that's the thing about Advent. You have to look at the situation of man before Jesus came. Our Father knows the heart of man. He knows how man was made, why he was made. He knows he was made for God. And deep within every human being is this yearning for oneness with our Father, this returning home, this... There's a deep, deep, mysterious yearning, almost like a blank spot, a crying out for the truth and the love of the living God. And our Father knows that. And so when he sent Jesus into the world, he sent him into the world to heal and to fill that yearning. That's why Advent is so important, to prepare for the final completion of our humanity, of our very being. And our Father knew all about that. That's why he sent Jesus. He said, I am the only one who can resolve this sort of issue that man has, this yearning that he sometimes doesn't even know he has.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he has it. See, our Father knows he has it. And I'm going to send Jesus because I'm the only one who can heal that. Man needs God. And so that's what he did.
And you're telling us and our listeners that they can encounter God even before they die.
Oh,
they
sure,
can encounter him in
yeah.
their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's needless to say. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think it needs to be said because I think people think, well, I can read God and I can talk about God. But I love what John Michael taught me. You got to go further.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look for him in your heart. Because he's there.
Yeah, well, when you consider that we're made for God, we're made for love, God is love.
Yeah.
So if a person isn't animated and just moving in love, in transcendent, divine, very real love, then how is it that they could be happy in this world? Because they're not living... from their heart, they're not living as the eternal plan was for them to live. A person is supposed to live a gifted life where love flows forth from them as it flowed forth from our Father, as it flowed forth from Jesus, as it flows forth from the Spirit. We're supposed to be caught up in that.
Right.
Not the other way around. We're not supposed to be caught in the world where love stops and starts moving in the other direction.
And he gives us nourishment every day. You know, when I go to Mass in the morning, you know what I call that? breakfast with Jesus.
No, that's it.
Because
a great
he nourishes
name.
Us spiritually, it's mentally, physically.
Yeah, that's very nice.
He really
very
does.
Nice. Yeah, it's very nice.
You know, and I found out that he likes whole wheat toast.
No. Really?
But he'll come into your heart. Like, that's what you're saying. That's what this is all about. We're getting ready to have our hearts open to God. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, it's.
I may be just an idealist, but I love it.
No, it's certainly worth the preparation. I mean, we're not just preparing for some little thing. This is the maximum thing that has happened to the human family and that can happen to a human person. The gift of divine love in Jesus.
Yeah.
What a transformative type of an encounter that a person would never be the same.
And that's what Scripture is all about. It's the personal encounters people have had with God, mm-hmm. the Spirit in their lives, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if we had to put a frame around Advent, how would we frame it? What would we say about it? It's the preparing of a beautiful event, the coming of Jesus. It's getting ready for it. It's ourselves preparing ourselves and our heart for the beautiful event of the coming of Jesus. How would you frame Advent?
Yeah, well, that's you pretty much said it. I think I would preparing for the gift of God's love in Jesus, something like that, or opening your heart to be completely renewed and transformed, to receive a new heart. You know, really, it's what is Jesus as he comes to us as a gift? What does it really amount to? It amounts to being able to live from the heart, like John, as you were saying, that the mind gets in the way.
Oh boy.
And it very often does. I mean, we have fears, anxieties. We have also in our mind sort of crazy ambitions that, you know, don't amount to anything really. And so the best thing that a human being can ever do is to learn to live from the heart,
mm-hmm.
and not end up at the end of their days thinking that, you know, here I am. I lived a whole life, and I never lived from my heart. I don't even know what that is. See, that's what our Father prevents by sending us Jesus. He allows us to begin today to live from the heart, to live from the depths of your being where love is reigning.
You know what I say many times in prayer? God's not logical. He doesn't do things the way I want him to do. And what's the matter with him? Why can't he do things my way? And that when you go away from that and into the heart, then he begins to teach you his way.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see everything different. You see, for example, the suffering in the world. You're not overwhelmed by that. You see that as an opportunity to serve. What can I do? How can I alleviate mm-hmm. some of the suffering? How can I bring light and love into this situation? And in the midst of all of these trials and tribulations of life, we become sanctified because we're living from the heart. So you're living from the love that God has given to you as his first gift. And so in that love, you're interpreting everything that happens, be it negative or neutral or positive, you're interpreting it in a spiritual way. So through all of these events of our lives, you're becoming spiritualized and holier and greater at loving.
You know, in my prayer life, I say, God, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And you know what I hear back? I want to thank you for your advice. But in all honesty, I really don't need it, and I know what I'm doing, and I know how to shape your life the way that's best for you. So why don't you just be still and know I am your God, and let me talk to your heart, which I think is Christmas.
Yes.
All year round.
Exactly. It's every day.
Yeah.
See, it's an interior. You know, the incarnation is, yes, Jesus came in the flesh, But it really is, at this point, it's an interior visit. It's an interior giftedness. And so it's happening all the time.
And it's different for every person. Mm-hmm. He has an infinite number of ways of talking to us. He touches Tony his way, me your way.
Absolutely.
I could never live Tony's way, and he could never live my way.
Mm. Oh, I could never live your way.
But it's so wonderful to know that he's always on the job. Mm. 24 yes. hours. He doesn't bother with time.
But it's even more wonderful to know that he has the interest and the time for each and every one of us. Mm. It's not that he's like, oh yeah, John, I'll take you because I know you're very dedicated to me. He wants to be everybody's God, and he's open to everyone. All yes. we need to do is to go to him. And some of us, unfortunately, don't do that.
I think of a good thief on a cross and just glanced his way. And look what happened to him. And so what we're saying is during Advent, if you just glance the way of Jesus, he'll listen to you and he'll touch you somehow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, that's one of the most beautiful things of our faith, that very often the other faiths in the world are very fascinated by this aspect of our Catholic faith, our Christian faith, that we have a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
See, that dimension, we sometimes take that as, for granted, as it were. But the other faiths, when they recognize that that's what we're all about, they're very fascinated by that because most faiths don't really have that.
Yeah.
But we have that, and that's the gift that we want to communicate the most. Is that this relationship with God isn't just a theological thing. It's a real thing. It's a personal thing. You live and you breathe daily.
Yeah. Jose Romero is a police sergeant in California. And I listened to a CD about his devotion to adoration, true presence in the Eucharist. And he arrested this young kid for the third time. And the kid knew that if he went before a judge, he'd be in prison for 10 years or more. So he said, please don't arrest. Please, please, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. So he said, all right, you'll do anything. You'll do exactly as I say. And he said, yeah, I will. All right, come with me. So he took him to the cathedral, wherever it was in Los Angeles. And he knew they had adoration of the Blessed Sacrament going on. So he said, now remember, you can do whatever I say. Oh, anything, anything. He said, all right, come in here. I want you to meet a friend of mine. And he brought him into the Adoration Chapel. And the kid fell on the floor crying hysterically. And from that moment on, his life was changed. Mm. And he became, he's a lawyer now.
Oh, wow.
And Jose says, that's why I say it's not just a piece of bread. It's not just a piece of bread. It's Jesus in the stable, all grown up and touching us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that a phenomenal story?
That's a wonderful story.
And there must be thousands of stories.
I'm
like
sure
that.
There are.
Thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And that's the way he touches everybody's life. Also on Advent, what is it really meant for us to do within these four Sundays of Advent? It's not just, lighting a candle every week and people having Advent and wreaths in their houses. What is it really meant for us to do as lovers of Jesus?
Well, one of the most prominent figures in Advent is John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And if you look at John the Baptist, he really was so beautiful and unique in his simplicity and in his focus. You know, in other words, during Advent, you want to look at your heart and see, is my heart divided? You know, how much of my heart is given over to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you look at John the Baptist, there was a person clearly who did not have a divided heart.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so focused on his mission and on God. And so I would say that in Advent, that's really the exercise, the spiritual exercise we want to do, is to recognize that chances are our hearts have been or have become divided in some ways or in many ways. And so you examine your interior life, you look at your interior life, you go to confession. Okay, this is a very blessed season for penance and reconciliation. And you ask Jesus to shine a light on your own heart to see, is it like the heart of John the Baptist? Is it like the heart of our Blessed Lady? Is it focused? Is it, Jesus said you can't serve God and the world, or God and money, God and mammon, the things of the world. So he's saying that you can't be in the world with a divided heart. You have to be of one solid heart of love. And so you want to root out all these other things that divide the heart, confuse the heart, burden the heart, and so that you can be free to love as Jesus loves.
In the tomorrow's Gospels, mm-hmm. they talk about Elijah.
Yes.
And how Elijah was fire and was going to return. And in a book of reflections, they said, one of the reasons why the Jewish people had trouble accepting Jesus as Messiah, because they believed Elijah was to return. And in the scripture, tomorrow, I believe, Jesus says Elijah has already returned. And that was in the John the Baptist that he was talking about. It's wonderful how the Old and the New Testament come together as one. Mm-hmm. Even in that simple little scripture reading for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. That integrity of the Word of God and of the truth and the love of God, it's so powerful. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, this is really what the Lord is doing with us. He's giving us back our original integrity.
Mm-hmm.
He's making us whole and one in the fullness of his gift of Jesus. We were made for Jesus. And it's impossible to be whole and to be completely integrated unto eternal life without the gift of Jesus.
Yeah.
So you see the goodness, the mercy of God in sending Jesus. That's why the only response really would be this, to tear open your heart, as it were, to enter into the humility of our Blessed Lady, the humility of John the Baptist, in order to receive that wholeness, that healing. It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there for everyone.
John prepares the way for the Lord, and that's exactly what he's doing.
And his baptism was with water, but Jesus' baptism is with the Spirit.
That's right.
And it's wonderful.
And John's baptism is symbolic, not really sacramental.
Yeah.
But you're right. Jesus' baptism.
Father, we usually do a saint of the day, and we do some readings during that time. And we have an anonymous contributor whose name one of these days I'm going to blurt it out, and I'm going to tell everybody who this anonymous person is. But he gives us lovely little reflections.
And we have his permission to use it on we use it every week on our radio show.
Oh, how nice.
We call it a 2-minute reflection of the readings.
Good.
And by the time I finish reading, it takes 3 minutes.
Well, he reads it because, I'm from Brooklyn. I have a Brooklyn accent, so he's more dignified.
Oh. Brothers and sisters.
Yeah, see? Brothers and
rejoice
sisters.
Always, you see?
Hey, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Listeners, do not quench the Spirit. And that's from Thessalonians. Rejoicing, thanking, praying, and encouraging. These are welcome commands given to us by Saint Paul. And timely ones as well. Unfortunately, many people prefer complaining, copying, criticizing, and putting down. It sounds like me. Instead of one, the other ones as well. Which set of verbs best describe you? If it's the second set, it's time to own up to it and take your Christianity more seriously. Indeed, take it to heart. There are too many people who like to add to the darkness in the world. You, listeners, as true Christians, are a light to others. May the lights featured during this season come not only from decorations, but from hearts, as we've been talking about, truly in love with the Lord and with others.
Mm. Excellent.
Yes.
Isn't that neat?
See, I'm not over.
Very nice.
I'm not overplaying what I said about the way he reads, right?
Why don't we listen?
I'm not overdoing it.
He reads great.
This is what we're asking for Christmas. And you said that was written by St. Ignatius?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a prayer put to music.
Well, it's so appropriate for Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Give me only your love and your grace.
Exactly.
Jesus. That's all we're asking for.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
It's all we need. We invent these other needs, or maybe Madison Avenue invents
them.
But Jesus knows, our Father knows, that all we need is his love and his grace.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not so hard to get. All we got to do is ask him for it, go to him for it, and it's there. It's not that he's standoffish. Mm-hmm. He is not standoffish.
No, no.
I mean, we should know that.
Yeah. Our hearts should be
according to his will.
Our hearts should be like a voice crying in the wilderness, and our Father feeds us with his love and his grace.
Did you ever think Jesus was cheap? His love and his grace is free, no cost.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, in a materialistic world that we're living in now, who really wants something called love and grace? They really want something from Target or Macy's
Target,
of course. It's a better store, you know. And but our Father knows that that's all we need. Yeah. Everything else is superfluous.
Absolutely.
And without his love and his grace, everything else is meaningless.
Yeah, and we have a saint of the day who proved this by his life. A little kid, a 14-year-old kid.
14-year-old, and thanks to Father Larry, who suggested that we emphasize the stunning story of the blessed Jose Sanchez del Rio. Mm. And his story is stunning because he was a little kid. And there are stories of children who become saints, so devoted from day one to Jesus. And he was devoted, and maybe it's apropos, because he's very devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And so in that respect, thank you for recommending that this stunning story. In 1927, Mexico was immersed in a violent storm of religious persecution. Catholics were there, but the president of Mexico at that time, his name was Plutarco Calles, I believe, if I'm saying it right. He hated the church, and his hatred had no limits. I mean, he wasn't that he would tolerate it. He just hated the Catholic Church. He killed priests and burnt down the churches. In legitimate self-defense, countless Catholics took up arms to defend their faith. Whenever they charged into battle, the Christos, as they were called, shouted, "Viva Cristo Rey." If I'm saying that right, I don't know.
Yes. Viva Cristo Rey.
Rey. Long live Christ the King. Young Jose joined them. Many Catholics shedded their blood in this conflict. Many died courageously, without even batting an eye, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for their Catholic religion. Many were martyred. And blessed Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio was among them. What a kid.
Mm-hmm.
What a kid. From a young age, he had a great love and enthusiasm for the Blessed Sacrament and encouraged his friends to have more devotion to our Lord and Our Lady of Guadalupe. He was really devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Whenever Jose heard of the glorious battles of the Christos, which his two brothers were engaged in, his desire to join the Holy Army only intensified more and more. Finally, Jose wrote a letter to one of the Christos generals, pleading to be allowed to fight in the name of Jesus. The general acquiesced. In a certain battle, Jose was rushing to bring a fellow soldier a new supply of ammo. Just then, he caught sight of the general whose horse had been shot dead. On foot, without a horse, the general was extremely vulnerable. Making a sacrifice that might cost his life, Jose freely gave the general his own horse. His life was more valuable, he thought. Moments later, he was caught by the Federalists and locked up in a church sacristy that had been turned into a prison. One of the guards had put a number of expensive fighting roosters inside the church for safekeeping.
You're not going to tell that story.
Yes. This troubled young Jose, he said. This is not a barnyard. This is a place of God.
Oh, the poor roosters.
He soon caught all the prize roosters, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth, and snapped their heads.
What's for dinner?
They snapped their necks. That's the way I used to kill pigeons when I was a kid.
Oh.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that.
That's more information than we need.
Yeah. The enemies of Christ the King soon decided to kill him. On the way to execution, soldiers struck him savagely with sharp machetes. Mm. With every blow, the young boy cried, "Viva Cristo Rey!" When he got to the cemetery, he was bleeding heavily. His torturers had also cut, oh my God, listen to this, also cut off the soles of his feet and forced him to walk on salt. The boy cried with pain, but would not give in. As the road was nothing but rocks and dirt, the stones he had walked on were soaked in his blood.
Oof.
The soldier said, "If you shout, 'Death to Christ the King,' we will spare your life." He only answered, "Long live Christ the King. Long live Our Lady of Guadalupe." The commander ordered the soldiers to bayonet him. They passed his body, but with every stab, he only shouted louder and louder, "Riva Christode." The commander was so enraged that he pulled out his pistol and on February 10, 1928, killed Blessed Jose on the spot. There was no trial. Blessed Jose is an outstanding example of faith and courage for all Catholic young men. Such courage and faith should not go unnoticed. For you who wish to be faithful to Christ, he was declared a martyr and was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI on November 20th, 2005. Blessed Jose, pray for us.
Amen.
And all those that are willing to defend the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the story. That's the stunning story, as I call it, of Jose Sanchez.
You know, so many of the saints have been martyred, and that doesn't make any sense logically. And that's why we go back to the heart.
Yeah.
Their hearts were touched.
Yeah.
That they would just forget their own life and give it away to God in love.
You're right. Their hearts were touched, and their faith became so strong that they would rather give up their lives than give up Jesus.
About a Sunday ago, I was watching television, and the patriarch of the Greek church and the Pope were talking about unifying the religions. And the patriarch said something that really, I think I might have mentioned it last week, but I'll mention it again today. He said, you know, we're here talking about theological concepts and words about getting us together as one religion. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, Christians of all denominations are already giving their lives the unity and the love through their blood as they die. And that really struck me. It's not concepts.
Yeah.
It's not theology. It's unity in heart, in love. You know, I know I'm kind of maybe philosophical today or theological today, but that says, hey, these people encounter Jesus, and it doesn't make much difference whether they're Protestant, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, Melkite, or whatever. They are Christians. And they are one in love, and now they are with Jesus.
And their love for Jesus is so strong that nothing, even torture, like cutting off Jose's soles off his feet, would let him turn against.
Yeah, well, they say that the Federalists who were present at his execution, his executioners, were very, very moved. Possibly even converted by his steadfastness, by his willingness to endure these terrific sufferings for the sake of the love of God, and by witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit in him, almost like a, you know, something that would give him superhuman powers to endure things that. He was only 14 years old.
Yeah, I know.
And he's a sweet-looking kid. He's not that he was a tough-looking kid. I got his picture here. He's just a sweet-looking kid.
Filled with the Spirit. Filled with love. He just you know, when I was at the seminary doing the Day of Recollection, a group of seminarians were telling me they had gone down to Mexico to walk in his footsteps, as it were. They went to the place where he was buried. They saw the path that he walked where there's blood stains from his feet, and there's a kind of a shrine there for him. He's a wonderful model for young people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in prayer, and I'm saying to God, all right, I'm saying yes, and I'm going to say yes with my heart. Now, what is it you want me to do? He gave me a list of rules. You want to hear them?
Sure.
Come, follow me. Be alive in my love. Open your heart to me. Take my yoke on your heart. Allow our love to resurrect you anew, listeners. Huh? Be one with us in our love. Open your mind to my mind for you. Leave your troubles behind. Give them to me just for now. Let me show you how. Let go of you. Come alive in me. Pick up your cross. Let us make your burden light. Know my love in your heart. Be set free by my love. Give evil a shove. Replace evil with my love. Receive me eucharistically. Be nourished by my true presence in you. How's that for instructions?
Wow. Very nice.
You know,
boy.
We know it's very hard to do.
Very straightforward.
It's hard to do. Just say yes. We promise to help you one moment at a time. Give others our list. Convince them to try. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. You've heard those words hundreds of times. Teach others to follow our list of to-dos daily. That's all I ask of you, listeners. Just get one soul to turn to me. That's all I ask. Well,
that's what, we're
what will
to
you
do?
It's up to you. I got that in reflection this morning, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
I guess it was for the radio
and
show.
By the way, that was a good reflection of John the Baptist when he says, prepare coming.
Oh, prepare ye the way of the Lord, sure.
That's John the Baptist. That was his statement when he was saying, prepare ye the coming of the Lord.
And also in prayer, I got, you know, you are all Elijah. You're John, and you are all John the Baptist. You are both all to do what I asked them to do. Prepare the way for us. Mm-hmm. At Christmas. I know I'm heavy today, but that's the way I'm going.
That's fine.
It's the season, really.
Reflection. Yeah.
It's
the season to be heavy.
Yeah, well, to be reflective. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
We can put up with you either way. Heavy, reflective, or light. Whatever you prefer is fine with us.
And Father, we also pray for healing.
Yes.
Of all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could
We have our petitions.
To join into that prayer time.
Thank
us.
You. Yes.
Okay. And I have music. I always have music. Oh, and I play the music just for Nick, who hates music.
That's one of our most loyal listeners.
And George. I forgot about
George. And he abuses both of them.
George said, you put the music on, I go to the bathroom. I said, no, you're missing the words in the music.
Yeah. And I love them both, George and Nick.
And Jesus, we ask you, please, bless us with your presence during this prayer time as we put all of our listeners in your hands. And remember we prayed about Joseph with cancer of the leg. He died.
Oh.
A 19-year-old man.
Oh.
And what a beautiful soul he was. Truly, talk about your saint of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He was very accepting and very close to God with his cancer.
Oh.
And we have others that we pray for. But let's pray for his soul.
Huh? Sure, absolutely.
Father, if you have anything you want to offer in prayer now, be nice.
I pray for those who are struggling with their faith, those who maybe are away from God at this time of Advent, that they would listen to his love as he calls them in the depths of their heart. And just turn towards him, and he will take you to himself and transform you. And so that would be my prayer.
That they be transformed.
Transformed and healed in his love. That it's so important to go through this life with the fullness of love with Jesus. And no one should be without him. And so that would be my prayer, that those who lack faith or struggling in their faith, that they would come to the love of God.
Yeah, that's a beautiful statement.
At this time of Advent.
Yeah. No one should be without him. That's a beautiful statement, Father. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
And we have so many people who are out of work and struggling and wondering where they're going to eat and how they're going to have a roof over their head.
So many
I had a woman, I still pray for her, but 2 years ago, 3 years ago, she spent the winter in her car, and it was the very bad snowy winter. Mm. And she now has frostbite in her feet.
Yeah.
And no place to go. We finally got her into a shelter.
Wow.
But, you know, it's people are suffering so, Lord. And we don't know why. But we ask you, Lord, enter into the suffering of every person who hears our words now and touch them. Give them meaning to whatever they are suffering. Help them to know that you, Father, Holy Spirit, Mary, are with them, and that you're touching them, and that you're giving them peace. The song in the background is prayed by Celtic Spa, and it's called Peace. And let our peace, Jesus, let your peace come forward.
So Jesus is not afraid of suffering. Jesus crucified embraces suffering and enters into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyone who's suffering or sick, be assured that Jesus is with you.
Oh, yes.
He's almost, as it were, attracted to you because he sees you as being crucified with him. And so he's with you. And he will share his gifts with you.
And so many of our listeners, and so many people, not just our listeners, get depressed at Christmas because they expect so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it all built up by the hype of Madison Avenue, like you said. And you're going to get all your wishes fulfilled. Well, and then they get depressed and they say, where are you, God? Are you alive? So, Lord, for any person out there who's struggling and looking for you, would you please enter in, as Father said, enter into their mindsets and toss that negative guy away. I've told you my holy prayer, my rather unholy prayer against spiritual warfare. Did I ever tell you that, Father?
I'm not sure.
He probably told you several times.
Jesus, will you take that pitchfork and put it where the sun doesn't shine and get that guy the hell out of here? It's not very holy, but it works for me. And we ask that you do that, Lord, in every person who's suffering depression right now.
Good,
Tony,
I like that.
What are you?
Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks for all that you've done for everyone, all you've done for John, myself, and Father, and bringing Father to us today. He's such a beautiful man and such a holy man and such an inspirational. So thank you for allowing Father to be on our show today. And we give you praise and glory and thanks, and we ask that we lift our petitions up to you, the bag of people that are suffering, that are sick, that are depressed, that are out of work, that are hungry, that are poor. We just offer them up to you, Jesus. And you said in Matthew 11, give your burdens to me and I will carry them and make them light. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. One question, Father. If anyone wants a copy of the book, how would you suggest that they get it?
Well, I think if you contact this radio show,
if you contact me, I will send it to them.
Right, or you can give them my email.
Yeah, I'll send it to them.
Okay.
If you contact
what's your email?
It's my last name, Tucker, tucker.frlar@gmail.com.
frlar@gmail.com.
So it's tucker.frlar@gmail.com.
Right.
And I'll send you a copy of the book.
Okay. And or if they contact us.
The radio show.
The radio show, we'll send them a free copy of the book. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to send us off with a rerun. I'd like to rerun that song. Because okay. It's so pretty, and it summarizes what the show is all about.
Good job with the music.
What we want for Christmas.
Yes.
Good job, Palmer.
Nick and George, this is for you. Father, you play the violin beautifully.
Yeah,
thank you,
very you
so
well,
much. Tony's upset I don't have a big rousing song to go off with. I'm going very quiet and gently today. I'm very introspective. It's Advent. It's
Advent.
Time to go within. That's what we've been saying.
Sure. Season of reflection.
Hey, Trevor, we're giving you our Christmas present. You hear it? That's it. Merry Christmas. We're asking God to give you His love. It's free. We're big spenders. And there's a whole Spanish group that comes in after us, Father. Would you speak in Spanish and wish them Merry Christmas, please?
Feliz Navidad a todos.
They're all outside.